A few years ago, a computer specialist, he put a humorous ad in place, and it read this way: is your PC free from viruses? If not, get infected here. And so, those of you who are not familiar with computers, a virus isn't your friend. It's not a good thing to have on your computer. And though this man wasn't serious, it was a joke, and if you clicked it, you didn't get infected. But he put a counter out there to see how many people would actually click it to infect their computer. And over 400 people signed up to have a virus put on their computer. Why would they do that? Why would they infect their computer with a virus? It makes no sense. And the Bible tells us there's a different kind of virus, and a virus that doesn't infect our computers, but it affects our personal lives. And the Bible calls this virus sin. That's my computer virus. We don't want to look at that anymore. I already read this, but I'm reading it again. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance to the kingdom of Christ and of God. So they're talking about several sins in Ephesians here, Paul is. But I want to focus on three of these sins, and that's obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse joking. And we talk about being able to come into a place, and I think, Dave, you mentioned it, where you don't have to hear that stuff. But you know what? We hear it here. We hear foolish talk. We hear cursing. We hear coarse joking. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Colossians says it this way: "But now you must also rid yourself of all things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." And Jesus condemned the Pharisees with these words in Matthew 12: "You brood vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." And we've been talking a bit about Facebook. And on Facebook, there's a lot of this overflowing of the heart that's occurring. And there's people there that aren't speaking, but they're typing. And that's more damage than speaking, because it's permanent. You can't erase it once it's put there. And a lot of that writing is filled with obscenity and foolish talk and coarse talking. And a lot of unwholesome stuff is going on. And one pastor of mine, who's a friend, said he had a friend on Facebook, and she was not part of his church. And she posted something that was filled with several curse words on Facebook. I've seen people who are regular people who come in here have swear words and, you know, foolish things that they post on the internet. And when this got back to the elders of her church, they called her in for a meeting, and she wasn't pleased with that meeting. So when she went home, she reposted her obscenities, and then she rattled on about how hypocritical it was for the elders to call her on the carpet. And so many of her Facebook friends rallied up behind her, and they started posting all their obscenities. And these friends went to tell how much they hated the church, and they hated Christians, because they were worthless and hypocritical. And my pastor friend then sent her a private message pointing out that she was wrong. And if she was in his church, he would have called her on the carpet too. But worse, her reposting and attacking the church encouraged people who hated Christ to pile and spew their hatred even more on Facebook. And fortunately, this woman backpedaled and apologized. But some Christians don't understand how damaging cursing can be to Jesus. You know, that woman was a Christian, and her testimony was ruined when she started cursing on Facebook. People who may not have been Christians followed her lead and said, "Okay, I'm going to curse too." How can she now be a testimony and a witness to those people? She can't. It's a terrible thing for people to do that. I have a friend who not so long ago jokingly cursed in my presence on purpose, you know, as a joke. And I wondered if he realized that by this one incident of cursing, he damaged his witness. He damaged his witness for Christ. He insulted the Savior because he actually used the Lord's name in vain. It's a terrible thing for a Christian to curse and tell off color jokes. But then it even gets worse than that. And I'm in a pastor's group that I'm a part of, there was a great deal of discussion about how much damage Facebook has done to churches. And there was a pastor who talked about a child where the youth group leader had kind of flicked the child behind the ear because the child was out of line and probably inappropriately. Needless to say, it hit the Facebook wall, and then this big storm started. And they confronted the youth leader and made sure he wasn't going to do this again. But then the youth leader left because he got mad because they confronted him. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Long story short, it took a year for that situation to quiet down on Facebook. All of this stuff was going on. You know, the chairman of the elders didn't do what they should have done in this place like the previous one did. They just kind of put it on the shelf. They think Facebook was this nice site and it sits on the shelf. But now it's an important medium of communication that's going awry. A new form of gossip. Fortunately, and I use the word loosely, at least we can see the gossip. It's not done behind our back. We can read it, but it's still there. Facebook can be a great place to talk with your friends, but it can also be a terrible place filled with evil and bitterness and darkness, and a place where Jesus and his church can be attacked and cursed. Christians need to be careful there because the world is watching. I had somebody send me a message not too long ago. You remember the person on Vine Street that was murdered here, whatever. And apparently, there was this long discussion about this person being murdered on Vine Street. And somewhere in there, there was like, well, yeah, and Pastor Russ, da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden starts, you know, that I don't even remember the whole, but about how horrible our town is. But anyway, it was just one of those things that came from that whole ordeal. So how do we deal with this problem? How do we stop ourselves from being involved in this? And first of all, we need to realize it's not a problem with the internet. It's not an internet problem. The problem existed long before Facebook occurred. It existed long before computers were thought of. And we can look in James, and James tells us exactly what the problem is. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Our tongue is filled with deadly poison. You don't need a computer to say mean things to other people or hateful things. You don't need the internet to undermine the cause of Jesus by what you say with your tongue. So how do we deal with this problem? First, the church needs to realize that the church needs to understand its part in dealing with it. And I think let me skip on. You know, the first example I gave you about the leadership confronting the member of the church, you know, that was the church's place in dealing with that. I spoke to a youth minister, and when he finds postings from his youth group on Facebook that are inappropriate, he brings them to youth group and reads them in front of the youth group. And you know what? Those postings stop because they don't want to hear their negative stuff being read in front of the group. Because when the church does its part in confronting sin, then sin starts to back off. Back in Ephesians, having nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. We're to expose these things. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. You know, you can't even talk about what people do in secret. The Bible says it's so shameful. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is light is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And a good godly leadership and good godly friends will lovingly confront false fellow Christians who don't do what they should do. If we are loving brothers and sisters and we see our brothers and sisters stepping out of line, we should confront them and we should say, you know what? You're out of line. That's our place as Christians. I'm going to make a confession. Several years ago, I was part of a website where people from several denominations would discuss Bible verses and what they meant to them. And some of the discussions got rather heated. And I can argue with the best of them. And I did. And I would attack not just the opinions, but the intelligence of the people who were putting their opinions on the page and who disagreed with me. And you know, it wasn't a good thing I was doing. I was wrong. And then someone on the site pointed that out to me and said, you know what, you shouldn't be attacking these people, you're out of line. And so I eventually left the site because at that time I wasn't controlling how I conducted myself there. But a fellow Christian pointed out my wrong and I made my wrong right. So my point is, even as your pastor, I need to be reminded once in a while when I step over the line. And that's what good Christians friends should do for each other. Confront us if we speak or write things that aren't nice for Christians to speak or write. And I'm using nice words instead of it's necessary for us as a church to do that because the Bible commands us to do that. Ideally, it should never get that far. The church and fellow Christians may have to remind us once in a while if we step over the line. But as Christians, we should be able to police ourselves. And we should be so in love with Jesus that we should realize how badly we can hurt our Savior when we say or write things that are obscene and are hurtful. So how do we do that? Yep. How do we do that? Matthew 12:35. A good man brings good things of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. It's very simple. And I've talked about this. The evil things that come out of us are from the evil things that we store up inside of us. The computer term, garbage in, garbage out. We put garbage in our lives, we spend garbage out. If we don't want bad words coming out of our mouths, then we shouldn't be surrounding ourselves with people that use that kind of language. We shouldn't spend our time with influences that fill our hearts and minds with mean-spirited and nasty language and attitudes. There are TV shows and movies and all these things that can influence us. There's songs that I won't listen to. I won't listen to secular radio because it's so polluted with things. There's many books and magazines I won't even begin to open because I don't want to expose myself to the words and the attitudes that are expressed there. I try very hard to protect myself from the influence, these influences. But it's hard. It's harder than it seems, as you know. We're surrounded by foul language and ideas in many parts of our lives. We find them in movies and in songs and in TV and in books and magazines. I flipped open a Reader's Digest the other day and there was cursing in the Reader's Digest. I mean, of all places, right? Lately, politicians are starting to curse and use curse words in their campaigns, and their admirers defend them for doing that. Then, of course, if you work in a work setting, you can count on being regularly exposed to foul language. You're surrounded by the constant drama of people who gossip and verbally attack others. What this means is that we're surrounded by lots of people who curse and say lots of nasty things. And Paul told the church of Corinth that they had to realize that they lived in a pagan world. In 1 Corinthians, he says, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy swindlers and idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world." So if we live in this world, we're going to come in contact with people who live like the world, because they are the world. So the only way to avoid contact with these people and their influences is for us to leave the world. It's not practical, right? We have to function in this world. But it's important for us to be careful what we store up in our hearts. And I've talked about this subject so many times, but I feel that in these times it's so important for us to constantly be aware of what's in our hearts. Because it's so easy for negative things to enter our hearts. Many times we don't even realize that we're putting poison inside our bodies, inside our hearts. And we need to constantly ask Jesus to reveal what's in our hearts. And ask Him to rid our heart of the evil things that may be in it. He said in Matthew 12:35, an evil man brings evil things that are stored up in him. It's pretty clear. When we start speaking evil and we start spouting evil things, it's very clear in Scripture. It comes from what's in our heart. So we need to be aware of what's in our heart. But I want to warn you of one thing in that people sometimes try to do, and I call it the empty bucket theology. And what they do is they think if they can empty all these nasty influences out of their life, they're going to become pure and holy, and thus all the words they say and write will be nice and kind. If they are an alcoholic and they stop drinking alcohol, everything's going to be great. Or if they smoke pot and they quit smoking pot, everything's going to be great. But you know what they did? They left, just they took something out, but there's now an empty spot there. There's an empty spot where the negative was taken out. And all they end up with is an empty bucket. And as we all know, an empty bucket usually gets filled with something else. So you see, I've seen over and over, alcoholics who quit drinking, and they start using drugs. And they quit doing drugs, and then they start looking at porn. And they quit doing porn, and they start, you know, because they're taking the evil out of their heart, but they're not putting anything back in its place. They're allowing the world to fill that. And what Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. In other words, it's not good enough to empty the bucket of all our bad stuff and be done. We have to fill the bucket with good stuff. And Jesus said a good man stores up good things in his heart. So he puts it in his heart. So you may ask, what kind of good things should I store in my heart? And I would say, glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. In Ephesians 4, it said, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Am I on the right scripture? I'm on the top scripture. I'm way ahead of myself. So it's instead of, here it says, instead of being obscenity, foolish talking, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Colossians it said, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We need to fill our buckets with an attitude of gratitude for God. We need to fill our buckets with the Spirit of God when we pull out the negative. We can't just leave a hole there because the world's going to fill that hole for us. We can't leave this world right now. We can't leave the influences sometimes of this world. But we can become so filled with our relationship with God that the world can't force its way in to our hearts. In the computer world, it's hard to go on the internet without finding a virus. If you have computers, you know you can get a virus. These people across the globe, they write viruses to damage computers. That's their purpose. They have nothing better to do with their lives than to try to hurt people they've never met by damaging someone else's computer. And all because of these virus makers, you can't get on the internet without exposing your computer. So I want you to visualize you're getting on the internet. Now you're in this environment where these viruses can attack your computer. When we step out into the world for the day, we're exposing ourselves for the world to put this stuff into our heart. And now there are companies out there that make software to protect your computer. And depending on how much protection you buy, got to pay for it, from these companies, they can protect you from most or all viruses. But what God is telling us is that if we fill our hearts with thanksgiving and we fill our hearts with the Spirit, it's the virus protector that we need to shield us from storing up evil thoughts and words in our hearts. The more filled our hearts are with thoughts of God and His kindness in us and His Spirit in our lives, the less prone we are to start spouting off words and spouting off nasty things. Someone said it this way: in our English language, there's no such thing as being half full of thanks or gratitude. We're either thankful or we're grateful. You can't be half full, right? So in closing here, the way to cut down on cursing and mean-spiritedness and these things is to be so focused on Christ and His kindness that there's no room left in our for the thoughts of this world. And when we do that, people see something different in our lives, something that's so satisfying and exciting that that's what they want in their lives as well. And you know what? All we got to do is go talk to a friend who's an unbeliever and curse. And immediately your testimony has been tarnished. I mean, and you know what? They'll throw it in your face. Oh, you're a Christian and you said that. Well, that's Christians for you. You know, so we need to be so careful. And you know what? We shouldn't have to analyze every word in our head and in our mind. Because if we fill ourselves, right, with God, we fill ourselves with His Spirit and thanksgiving, it's not going to come out because we're not putting them in our heart in the first place. A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, what do you put on your face to make it shine? And he was serious. He wanted to know what this missionary put on his face to make his face shine. With surprise, the man of God answered, "I don't put anything on it." And this Hindu man began to lose his patience. He goes, "Yes, you do. All you people who believe in Jesus put something on your face." He said, "I've seen it in towns of Agra and Surat and even in the city of Bombay. What do you guys use on your face to make your face shine?" And the Christian finally understood what he was asking. And he said, "Now I know what you mean. I know exactly, and I'll tell you what the secret is. It's not something that we put on from the outside, but it's something that comes from within. It's a reflection of the light of God in our hearts. So fill your heart. Fill it with good stuff. And then you're going to glow. And people are going to go, 'Jim, what do you put on your face? What kind of makeup are you using?'" Right? Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the patience that these folks have endured, Lord. And I thank you for James and his testimony. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use that for your good. Lord, and I pray that we'll just learn to fill our hearts and our souls, Lord, with thanksgiving and with your Spirit, Lord. And help us to avoid and try to not allow the negative things of this world to enter our hearts. Because if it's in our heart, it's going to overflow out. And Lord, just if we concentrate, Lord, and we spend our days in your word, Lord, and we spend our days listening to worship music, and we spend our days in thanksgiving, Lord, those influences will fill our hearts so full that there won't be room for the negative to enter in. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll continue, Lord, to make this place a holy place, not just during worship service, not just during Bible study, Lord, but throughout the week. Make this a holy place, Lord, so when people that walk in off the street, they notice something different. They're not hearing the regular people that are here telling dirty jokes. And they're not hearing the regular people that are here swearing and cussing, Lord, and ruining the testimony, Lord, that we have in the city, Lord. Help us to be a shining light. Lord, help us to be so full as a community here at the cafe of your word and your Spirit that we shine, that this building just glows on this corner. Lord, I'm so thankful for the gifts that you've given us. I'm thankful for what you've done in our lives. And I pray that you'll bless each one here in your name. Amen.